This month marks a significant anniversary for one of Cape Breton's most famous late residents. 150 years ago, in March of 1786, Scottish-born inventor Alexander Graham Bell made the first telephone call. Kelly DeVoe of Parks Canada, which operates the Bell Museum in Bedeque, says he nearly missed getting the credit for the patent.
It was February 1876, and it wasn't Bell who actually filed the patent for the telephone. It was his business partner and future father-in-law, Gardner Hubbard. So he actually filed an application for the patent on what was then described as the speaking telegraph. So it wasn't called the telephone then, it was the speaking telegraph. And he did so without Bell's knowledge. So as you can imagine, Mr. Bell wasn't too pleased, but then was rather grateful, because within just 2 hours of Mr. Hubbard filing that patent application, another inventor, Elisha Gray, filed a caveat serving notice to all other inventors that he too was working on a device for the transmission of speech by electricity. So that's quite remarkable when you think about it. Now, Bell's application was much stronger because he was already testing the workings of instruments, whereas the other inventor, Gray, was not. So because Bell's application, or the application his future father-in-law put in, was stronger, he actually did receive a patent on March 3rd, 1876, for the speaking telegraph.
1 week later, on March 10th, when he was just barely 29 years old and a member of the Boston University faculty, while experimenting with his invention, he made the first phone call to his assistant, Thomas Watson. He said, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you." Eventually, the telephone would become widely popular, appearing in many homes and businesses in the States, around North America, then all over the world. About 10 years later, he and his wife, Mabel, met and fell in love with Cape Breton.
He was born in Scotland, and Bell made Bedeque his summer home, but spent a significant amount of time in Bedeque. The family built Benbrea, and Bell's activities there certainly had a significant impact on the economic and social life of Bedeque. So for example, the estate at Benbrea provided work for many of the men and women in the community, both in a traditional service occupation role, but also directly connected to Bell's experiments, such as producing thousands of tetrahedral cells for his massive kites. And Mabel as well, she played a really important role, well, in her husband's career, both for moral support and financial support, but she was also very active in the Bedeque community. For example, she helped to establish a local library, the Home and School Association, and a club for young women.
While at Benbrea, beautiful mountain in Gaelic, Bell broadened his horizons to other areas of research, including developments in sign language, and in 1901, he welcomed to Cape Breton Helen Keller.
Well, Bell was actually first and foremost a pioneer in deaf education, and remained very committed and very passionate to his work in deaf education. And he did have a close relationship with Helen Keller, which continued for the rest of his life. And there's a wonderful passage in a book. It's called The Reluctant Genius, actually, by Charlotte Gray, where she talks about Bell and his relationship with Helen Keller and their first meeting. And Helen Keller, in some of her letters later in life, just attributes so much to Bell for seeing that potential. And it really was quite a special relationship that they held. And again, it was very much rooted in Bell's passion for deaf education.
Also, Bell's research in aviation resulted in the first powered controlled flight in Canada and the British Empire by the Silver Dart in 1909. Local historian Ken Donovan of the Old Sydney Society was there on that same spot one century later.
I was down to the 100th anniversary of the flight in Bedeque on the ice that day. That was magnificent. That was one of the best days of my life. Lorena McKennitt was there, and the F-86 Sabre jets are flying over. It was just a marvelous, marvelous day. I'll never, never forget that day. It was just bright, sunny day. And I forget the Canadian astronaut's name, but he was flying the Sabre jet. And so they were just marking times in flight. And the astronaut that flew, Canadian astronaut that flew the Silver Dart was incredible. And so that day, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And Lorena McKennitt was down on the ice that day, and she had sang the night before. And I think she's the honorary colonel of the Canadian Air Force. She was at that time. And so, yeah, it was great to see her and listen to her sing the night before.
Donovan says Bell was a Renaissance man in more ways than one. He talks about an unusual pet on the grounds of Banbrea that Bell was protecting from hunters.
This is just an example of that. He had a very inquiring mind, and he could get distracted. And when he wrote, he didn't want to be disturbed. He had a little cabin that he didn't want to be disturbed, and because writing is a very lonely business in a way. But one anecdote that comes to mind is Steve Whitty talks about them hunting the caribou, the last of the caribou in Cape Breton in the early part of the 20th century. And he said they were relatively easy to kill because you'd herd them up and create a gap, and they'd run through the gap, and they would line up on one side, and they were easy to shoot. Well, during this time, Alexander Graham Bell had what amounted to a pet caribou as part of his menagerie in Bedeque. And I just take that as a sign of his interests. Like he knew that these animals were soon going to disappear, so he had a pet caribou. That's just one example of this type of Renaissance man that he was.
DeVoe, meanwhile, echoes Donovan, saying the world is deeply influenced by Bell's accomplishments, probably because he had the right ingredients to meet outstanding goals.
Not only the mind of a famous inventor, but also his heart and his personality, and how his genius shaped the world, really. It's almost like you get to pull back the curtain and to peek into his life. And it is quite vast, his influence, you know, from flight to watercraft to deaf education to artificial restoration. He's left us quite a legacy. And for our visitors, I think that when they leave with that inspiration to ask questions and to think and to have that spirit of just bettering the world, you know, the time spent is well worth it. And it's just so beautiful as well, on the hill overlooking Bedeque Bay. It's a gorgeous location. And just think about Bell when he was flying kites over at Banbrea, and he was dreaming about one day humans potentially flying as he watched his kites and did his experiments. So everyday activities can really inspire people to think about how they can change and better the world.
The only confirmed recording of Bell's voice, 1885, on a wax-on cardboard disc, he says, "Hear my voice," and then he says his name.
"You are my voice.
Bell died at the age of 75 in 1922 at his estate in Bedeque. For the Local Journalism Initiative, Bill McCush, Coast Radio News.